This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there, and welcome back to part two of our two-part series on cognitive dissonance and how it relates to what's going on with the pandemic and how it relates to us as those who are trying to prepare, be disaster ready, disaster preparedness, survivalist, ever how you view yourself. I want to do what I can here in these segments for the Survival Show podcast, help you to do that. I'm Craig Cottle, director of Nature Alliance School, located here in Central Kentucky. We have these manly musing segments that are my little foray into my own head, sharing what I have to share. And I'm always open to somebody wanting to send me an email at info@naturealliance.org if you agree or disagree. Your agreement with me gives me encouragement to keep going. Your disagreement with me allows me to learn and grow. So either one, send them my way. I'm happy to hear from you. In part one, what we discussed briefly was this idea of cognitive dissonance and what it is. And so if you haven't listened to part one, then go back and listen to that. But part two, what we wanted to do is we want to look at some ways of getting past it. And I started getting that briefly in part one, but we'll go ahead and dig into it a lot deeper. So let's go ahead and not forget our sponsors. The MSK1 knife in particular, down below in our description, there's links for that. David's put a crap ton of work into design and marketing and all the stuff that goes along with a knife. So take a look at all of that down below. The website's fantastic. So if you're interested in a knife, and who's not interested in a knife, check that out and see if it works for you. So let's go ahead and dig into part two. Now, you know, I was reading, I mentioned again in part one, this article in The Atlantic that I've borrowed heavily from as it relates to, and I'll get this article linked in the description below so you can read it in full as well. But this article did a fantastic job of offering some stories to help relate some of these topics. And there was one, and I remember this. This is kind of odd that this happened this way. But back when Ronald Reagan was president, he made a trip to Germany. And on his trip to Germany, he went to a cemetery in Bickburg, Germany. And some of the German SS were located there. And Shimon Peres, who was, I think he was prime minister of Israel at the time. You can imagine he's not really happy with his buddy Ronald Reagan for doing this. He was asked what he thought about Reagan doing this, because from Shimon Peres's perspective, Reagan made a mistake. I would agree with him. You know, I mean, I don't know if that I want to go acknowledge a bunch of, you know, brutal murderers either. But Shimon Peres said this about Reagan at that time. "When a friend makes a mistake," he said, "the friend remains a friend, and the mistake remains a mistake." And that, man, there's just, quite frankly, I think there's a considerable amount of wisdom right there in that. Just a lot of wisdom right there. In that he recognized that, hey, he's not going to throw the friendship away just because Reagan made a mistake. And I don't think it's worthy of doing that. I see a lot of people doing that. You know, and maybe it's people that are just dissing Facebook friends, because Facebook friends are not really friends, are they? They're just people that kind of peer into your life and you get to speak to. Me too. I mean, I've got several thousand followers on Facebook alone, you know, I don't know, like 11,000, getting close to 11,000 on Instagram, 50,000 on YouTube. And I've got a, you know, to me, a guy that has basically, what I feel like, has done things ethically and responsibly and not tried to cheat people and lie to people, because that's not how I do things. That's a pretty big following for me. And, you know, a lot of those followers are just interested in what's going on in Craig's life. A lot of them are just friends, you know, and they're really literally friends, but a lot of them are just interested parties. And so I see people saying, well, if you don't do this, then just unfriend me now. Well, I mean, it's okay to just diss a bunch of people that are not really your friends, but if somebody's actually your friend, you know, my dad gave me some advice when I was a young kid that my dad wasn't one to dispense with much advice, really. I mean, he's just not that type. And one of the things he told me, though, that has stuck with me is that it never hurts to make a friend, but it always hurts to lose one. And I thought that was rather insightful. And I still to this day feel like that's very insightful, and I'm very thankful that my dad told me that, especially considering he didn't do stuff like that very often. But, you know, Perez is saying this about Reagan. You know, he's still my friend. He made a mistake, but that doesn't mean I'm going to just get rid of him and say, no, yeah, you're out. You're no longer my friend kind of thing. I really don't get that. So let's discuss this a little bit more in depth so that we can figure out how to get past this ourselves. I've said this numerous times when I'm writing and trying to help people learn how to be better leaders, because I'm always constantly learning myself. But one of the things I picked up on real early, I've talked about the five basic principles of leadership, but the principle number one is I always focus on the situation, issue, the behavior, not on the person. So if I'm going to have somebody, let's say a brother-in-law, that has a very distinct, different opinion than I do of how the pandemic is playing out and mask and Republicans versus Democrats and conservatives versus liberals and whites versus blacks and all the things that's going along with all this stuff right now. I'm not going to change his opinion if I go at him and say something like, you're stupid. You shouldn't be doing that. There's no reason to do that. That's not a good way of trying to win somebody over to a new message. What you've got to do is try to look at that person and see where other people that are like them have changed their opinion and point that out. So, you know, the reason I say that is you got to focus on the situation. And the situation might be, and let's just assume for the sake of the discussion, because again, this article in The Atlantic was taking this side of it, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm trying my best to ride the fence on this, if you can't tell. But let's say, for example, that we do need to start wearing masks and it'll be helpful. Okay? Then if I just say to people, well, you're stupid for not wearing a mask, then that's not going to work. But if I start saying, you know, there's a lot of people that think like you, and we can use whatever demographics that they are tied to that are now wearing masks, then it may give that person more of a reasoning to start wearing masks themselves. You know, I noticed the other day that Trump wore a mask to the hospital. You know, it's the first time that Trump's wore a mask to the hospital or even worn a mask in public. I think that's incredibly valuable. You can utilize that if you've got people that are just hardcore Trump, for example, then you can at least get them on their side because they're understanding. They're in agreement with Trump. I'm not saying you should be or you shouldn't. Again, I'm doing everything I can to ride the fence in this podcast on these difficult subjects. But at the very least, then you can understand, or they can understand, the person you're talking to, how to get them on the side of, hey, let's get to wearing these masks. You know, and I say this all the time about the mask in particular. My daughter is type 1 diabetic. And so wearing masks around our house, quite frankly, has been a thing we've been doing for the last 15 years, really. I mean, because anybody with type 1 diabetes is immunocompromised. And so anytime anybody had a cold or a sickness or a cough or sneezing or sore throat or anything like that, we always just put a mask on. And just as a means that we didn't want my daughter to get it, whatever it was. Now, not to say that she doesn't get sick and she gets past this stuff, but it's because, you know, we did everything we could while she was living at home to protect her as best we could. So I'm quite frankly, even though I don't feel it necessary to wear my mask all the time, I just don't have a big issue with it. I really don't. I've never had a big issue with it. I don't see the big deal, really. But I understand why some people don't feel that way, because it's an infringement on your rights, or it doesn't actually work, or some variation of it, and you have reasoning to believe that, and I have reasoning to believe those things too. I think it is infringing on our rights, But I'm a little weird in that. I kind of like it that all these cameras that are still picking up my face and follow me and know exactly where I'm going, they may or may not be very good at doing that when I'm wearing a hat and a mask now. So quite frankly, I kind of like it. Really, because it's hard for people to see me now. So, I mean, to a certain degree, I think it's pretty cool. Oh, man.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's some other things that we should get into as it relates to cognitive dissonance and how we can help people, including ourselves, to get past it. Now, the big thing that comes out of this is just, number one, humans are herd animals. If we see people or others that are like us doing something, we tend to gravitate to wherever the herd is going. That's just who we are as a species. And so understanding that's beneficial. But here's something that came up that I thought was really interesting as it relates to our psychology and how it is that we work. So there was a series of experiments that were done that have really informed psychologists on exactly that herd mentality and how that works in group therapy and a lot of things that go along with it. But basically what they discovered through all these experiments that let's assume that we have a group. And that group consists of a bunch of people that are nerds, okay? They're just geeks and nerds, and they're kind of boring or something of that nature. What they did is they allowed some people to get into the group and made it really easy for people to get into that group. And then they made it very difficult for other people to get into that group. And what they discovered is that the people that got into the group rather easily just didn't hold the people that were in the group in high regard. They came in, saw them as nerds or geeks, and didn't feel real comfortable with them, and then they got out. However, the group of people that came into the primary group who had a difficult time trying to get into the group and had to pass some tests and all these things to go through it, they did not have such a negative opinion of the people of the group on a statistically very likely number, okay? Meaning that when it's difficult to get into a group, you tend to want to normalize what's going on there, even if it's not normal. That's what we were talking about in part one about the Halley's Comet cult, Heaven's Gate cult. They normalized everything. You know, the leader of that cult had made it difficult for people to get in and made it difficult for them to stay, and they'd done all these things. And some of y'all may have watched that Netflix show on David Koresh and what happened in Waco, Texas, and all the stuff that goes along with. And, you know, people that worked hard to be in that group and suffered, they tend to normalize certain behaviors. And quite frankly, I do this in Nature Reliance School too. I'm not a big fan of fly by the seat of your pants students. I mean, obviously, if somebody wants to come train with us that I don't know and don't know anything about them, I'm going to do everything I can when they come to class to give them the education that they paid for. But what I like really doing more than anything else is building community and building people that want to stay for the long haul, meaning they want to help others and they want to grow themselves and continue to grow. And so I don't make it easy for people to get through a class that's supposed to be difficult. You know, I mean, I can make tracking easy, just lay out a bunch of tracks and go, that's a dog, that's a cat, that's a deer, that's a human running, that's a human that's got a limp, that's a human carrying a rifle. I can do these things in a spore pit, right? But I would rather teach people how to figure that out for themselves. And so what I like to do is build a community of people, and I like to do that with a lot of things. I did that with my family on different things. I never wanted to teach. I told my son that he was not allowed to study martial arts with me. That's what I did as he was growing up for a living. And he was just chomping at the bit to get in there with us and start training. And by the time he got in there, he worked really hard to stay there. And so, you know, it's just one way of building encouragement, building a depth of knowledge and people wanting to be in and work hard. Okay. So with that said, if you think about this group, particularly politics are taking people in at any way, shape, or form. They don't care. They don't care if you're on their side and voting their side. They don't care. They'll bring you in. I mean, think about it as it relates to the issues within politics, because quite frankly, from my perspective, I think despite the fact that it shouldn't be a political issue, the wearing or not wearing of masks has just quickly become a political issue. And so if you're on the fence and you say anything about it and you're in a group of people that want to wear masks, then they're going to shame you and make you out to be a fool and that you don't like the human race and stuff like that for not wearing it. And then on the other side of the coin, if you're on the fence and you're around people that don't wear masks, then they're going to say that it's stupid and what have you. And so what we've got to be able to do is look at that situation and go, I need to make a decision for myself and just do what I think is right for me. Because what's right for you might not be right for me. You know, I mentioned earlier, I have a daughter that's a type 1 diabetic. You know, some of the things that we do, I wouldn't expect other people to do, because y'all don't have a type 1 diabetic daughter where I do. And some of the decisions that she has to make and the things that she has to do are very different than your typical early 20s person. You know, she likes to get outdoors, but, you know, we can't. I would love to go on some of the canoe trips I've gone on in the past as a kid with her, but we really can't be 15 miles in the woods with no help. Because if her sugar goes down and we need to get her to the hospital, then she's going to die before we get her out. And so we just, you know, we've got to adjust what it is that we do. And we've got to take the extraordinary measures sometime to make sure that we have fun. We do enjoy being in the outdoors, for example, but we just don't take unnecessary risk. And that's something I could have done as a young man and not have to even give a second thought to it. But now that's very different. So the point I'm trying to make is this, is that everybody's different and you need to look at these situations, whether it's to wear a mask or not to wear a mask, to support BLM or not to support BLM, and Antifa, Boogaloo Boys, whatever it is, whatever fringe group that it is that you're looking at. Do you want to join this group or that group or not? Then look at it from a scientific process. What is the science saying? And I think one of the big issues as it relates to the mask wearing is that the science has disagreed with itself. But go back and listen to part one, because again, this virus is a new thing and it could very well be problematic and it could very well be not problematic. So you have to decide for you and where you live what you're comfortable with, and don't go with the herd mentality. Recognize that cognitive dissonance is a thing. Recognize normalcy bias. Recognize all those things that we have a tendency to do either consciously or subconsciously, so that you can come up with the best result for you and those that you care about. So this has been Craig Cottle, the director of Nature Reliant School, with a discussion on cognitive dissonance for the Survival Show podcast. Thanks for joining me as always. Look in the description below for all sorts of cool information. And until next time, you know what it's all about, right? Keep it simple, be positive, and stay sharp.